fasten your seatbelts, and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. The fun and excitement of the holidays are now behind us, with a long stretch of winter ahead. Often, that's when cabin fever sets in for those of us living in central and northern Wisconsin. Cabin fever can dampen your mood, your energy level, and your motivation during the cold months ahead. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Even for outdoor winter enthusiasts, the long winter months can be brutal. But when the cold and snow keep you at home, board games, catching up on great movies, and curling up by the fireplace with a good book can be a prescription for fun and relaxation. Joining me today is Jason Davis, a member of Gamers Who Care. It's a group of board game and tabletop game enthusiasts in the Stevens Point area who have combined their love of gaming with their passion for helping the community. Jay, welcome to Route 51.
Hello, Shereen. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. A little later in the program, we'll be joined by University of Wisconsin Stevens Point films expert Carrie Elza, who will talk about the biggest blockbuster films of the season. Marathon County Public Library media specialist Dan Richter will also be on hand to talk about the most highly anticipated new book releases, sure to banish the winter blues. We'll take your calls and questions, too. Join the conversation at 800-780-9742. But all about the games. Jay, before we go any further, you're a member of Gamers Who Care. So can you explain what that group is and what it does?
We are a group of gamers here in the central Wisconsin area who like to just be able to share our love of board gaming with everybody around us. Many people are familiar with the games they see in a Walmart, a Shopko, formerly Shopko, a Target,
sure.
Or major retailers from Hasbro and Milton Bradley, but games have evolved much beyond what they are seen in those stores today. You mix that with the dependencies of technology and how we are so entwined with technology today. We like to offer an environment where people can just sit back, relax, and disconnect for a little while.
I see. So do you have any events or conventions that are coming up or nothing in the near future?
We do. We have our major convention coming up in March. It is Friday, March 20th through Sunday, March 22nd at Century World in Stevens Point, and it's called Meeplestock.
Oh.
That is spelled Meeplestock. Many times you'll see little wooden components and little wooden people. Those are all commonly referred to as meeples, and we've kind of modified that to our name.
Oh, cool. I never knew that. Do you have a site where people can find out more about this event?
Our site is at meeplestock.com, and we also have a group where we are more active on Facebook. And that is also under the Meeplestock name. We welcome anybody who would like to come in, learn more about board games, talk about board games, join up and ask away. And we have some great group of people who can make recommendations to fit any sort of need.
Well, it sounds like a whole lot of fun. I know that board games have really exploded in popularity in recent years, and interesting games from all over the world, really like authors, directors, and film studios. Game designers and publishers really attract these large followings, and board game aficionados anticipate playing some hot new releases with their friends. I know you look forward to that kind of thing. There's also gamers around the world that support exciting new ideas on Kickstarter, and they share information about their favorites on sites like BoardGameGeek.com. Why do you think board games have gotten so popular in recent years?
That's a great question, and I wish I could really put my finger to it. It seems to just be that board games bring people together in ways that technology has kind of pushed us apart. We've grown used to talking to people online. We've grown used to text messages and instant responses. There's still something to be said about sitting at a table with your friends and being able to socialize in person with maybe a little bit of jabbing here and there when you can beat them in a game that you all enjoy, to have a chance and get together when you may not be able to do it is really what I think has driven this popularity across the world.
I think, gaming is something that anybody can do, even from the most simple things like playing rummy around the table, that my husband and I do that all the time, play cribbage. And then there, of course, there's more complex games and, you know, things for the whole family. But I mean, whether there's one, two or many of you, it sounds like there's a whole lot of options.
That's correct. Even if you wanted to play games that take 5 and 10 minutes because you're the young ones might be down for a nap, or you're waiting for dinner to finish and you need to kill some time, to having a full day and you want to try to find some things to do with friends, you can find games that take 4 to 8 hours or even as high as 12 hours if you had that kind of time to commit. The spectrum and complexity is amazing these days in terms of what's available.
Right. I mean, I think of the games of my youth that are still popular today, like Risk. And I mean, that's one of those games that you can really get, you can get engrossed in for hours on end.
Yep. And one of the biggest trends in the market right now is what they call legacy games. And it's funny you mentioned Risk. That kickstarted a trend in board games where stories are building on top of each other, where you'll play the same game with modifications throughout the game and have a story told to you about the progression of your characters or a world around you. And you'll be able to enjoy that time after time to make your experiences unique from one another.
That sounds really cool. Well, tell us about some like holiday board game releases that you're really excited to play. Is there something new that really has caught your attention?
For me personally, we are watching the big convention that happened in Germany a couple of months ago called Essenspiel. The majority of the major releases are targeted around that, and they're just now starting to filter into the States. The one that really hit home for me was a game called On Mars. It is a game where you are walking through and you are trying to colonize Mars. You have to traverse back and forth between your space station and the planet, and you are building up your colony through greenhouses, through energy plants, through water stations, trying to establish life on Mars. Doesn't seem far-fetched considering that in the real world, we are hearing those very things hit home today. It's quite an experience to see that in a board game and how much of that easily relates to what we hear about in the news.
Wow. Is that something that is really suitable for any age, or is there a specific, is it really better for adults, or what do you think?
The age group is certainly going to qualify more into the probably teenager and higher category, simply because the teaching for that one personally is in the 1 hour range, just to learn, understand the rules and walk through the actions.
Oh,
with
sure.
The game taking 3 to 4 hours.
Okay.
One that hit recently that I would say definitely is qualifying more in the family area is a game called Azul. The new Azul release came out, and Azul is a game widely available across multiple distributors and stores, where you are drafting tiles to be able to build your own stained glass window. And you are building stained glass windows with these tiles and trying to build different patterns or different amounts to be able to score points based off of how many you drafted and how quickly you were able to draft them.
So
I've seen individuals as young as probably 10 or 12 be able to at least pick up that game without too much issue.
Okay. All right. So there really are games that really run the gamut. What are some other games that families could play together that you could think of offhand?
One that comes to mind is a series called King and Queen Domino. King Domino is a tile drafting game. And when I say tile, think of a domino tile. The tile is going to have different patterns on it, and all you need to do is collect like patterns in a continuous line to be able to score points for them. The game takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and all it is a stack of 60 domino-like tiles, and you are able to just take turns drafting them back and forth.
Okay.
Another game, and I'm even going to expand it just a little bit and talk about a genre, is
sure.
What's called the roll and write genre.
Okay, what's
everybody's
that?
Everybody's heard of the game Yahtzee.
Yes.
Yahtzee, you are just rolling dice, and you are writing down whether you rolled 3 of a kind or you rolled 4 of a kind. That concept has been expanded into a wide variety of games that are available in most cases, free to play or print and play, where all you need to do is print off a score pad and you'll be able to play them right from your home with just a set of dice. And
yeah.
The one that
I love that. I love that when those easy to play games where you don't need a whole lot of equipment. That's what I love about card games. I always have a deck of cards in my purse and a notebook just in case we feel like playing a game.
Yep. And the Rollin' Rights are one that I've seen many people just shine to because of the sheer variety of play that you can get from a simple set of dice.
Mm-hmm.
To be the one that I know I've enjoyed a lot recently that I would recommend to any gamer experienced or new is one called On Tour. It's a game where you're going to roll two dice and you're going to get two different numbers. In this case, we'll say we roll a 6 and a 5. And you'll have a map of the United States in front of you with three cards that come out and say you need to mark Indiana, you need to mark Wisconsin, and you need to mark California.
Okay.
You'll choose 56 and 65, and you'll place them down. And by the end of the game, you hope to have the longest continual streak of numbers in play to be able to score points for that. So if you're able to connect 10 states in numerical progression, you'll get more points than if you only connected 4 states in numerical progression.
Okay. That sounds easy enough. Something I could even do. I'm never really good at the really complicated games. I just like the real fun ones like that are just simple. What are some of the older games that you keep coming back to that you think are still popular now that were popular, you know, years and years ago?
For me personally, the one that I would turn to that has had the a larger age range to it has been the Catan series. Catan is a game that has been around for about 15, 20 years, and it's one that even if you are an experienced gamer, you'll be able to come back and still enjoy that because it's easy to sit with some friends and be able to play a game that's just going to be rolling dice and making a few decisions. But we've gotten to the point where we like to add our own rules. And even though board games have rules defined in them, sometimes you'll find a way to modify it to your liking and change it up. What's unique about Catan is they also have multiple expansions or additional releases that come with them. So you'll be able to take those expansions or additional releases and make your game even bigger or smaller in some cases to meet those needs of whatever your playing group wishes to have.
Okay. I know that role-playing and war games are really big. What kind of role-playing or war gaming games would you recommend to like a new player, a new user who's not done anything like that before? Something that's easy.
For role-playing too, I'd like to just quickly say that role-playing is one of the harder things to find. When we encourage anybody who's interested to try to attend a local convention, whether it's MeepleStock or another one in your area, finding a group of people to just introduce the Dungeons and Dragons or role-playing mechanics to you is a great way just to get into something that's simple, imaginative, and allows you just to sit back and have a good time with everybody around.
Okay.
From a board gaming standpoint, it's hard to make exact recommendations simply because everybody has different interests and desires. They may want to have a game that only plays two players because it might be just a husband and wife in the house.
Sure.
It may be a game that they want to play with their kids. It might be something that while we want to have a little bit of luck, we might not want to have any luck because we don't like to roll dice.
Mm-hmm.
We recommend going to your friendly local game store and just working with somebody at the store to say, this is what we're interested in. Can you make some recommendations? One that I think would be probably the safest out of all of that would be what we call escape room in the box games. Everybody has been enjoying their escape rooms and taking a group of people there. You are also able to buy games that are escape room like, and you will be able to sit around the table, and for the cost of one person to go to an escape room, you can have an entire group sit down and for 1 to 2 hours be able to play a game that gives you your escape room experience, but not run the escape room cost.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot for everybody to keep us busy over these cold months. Jason Davis from Gamers Who Care, thank you so much for joining us today. When we return, UW Stevens Point Films expert Carrie Elza and Marathon County Public Library media specialist Dan Richter will join the conversation to talk about blockbuster movies and books to help cure that cabin fever. You can join in, too, at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. The fun and excitement of the holidays is past us, of course, but it's all too easy for cabin fever to set in this time of year. Winter is also a great time to curl up with a great book and catch up on some of the best movies and television shows that you might have missed. Joining us now is University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point films expert Carrie Elza with a look at movies you won't want to miss in the coming months. Welcome, Carrie.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Also joining us is Marathon County Public Library and media specialist Dan Richter. He has a list of the best books of the season as well. We'd like to hear from you, too. What movies are piquing your interest? What books are you looking forward to? The number to call is 800-780-9742. Welcome back, Dan.
Good
so
morning.
Glad to have you with us again. Carrie, let's start with you. Sure. I know the Golden Globes aired earlier this week. Mm-hmm. Oscar nominations announced on the 13th. Little Women is getting a lot of buzz. And you were telling me off air that you just saw it. What did you think?
Yes. And it was fantastic. The acting is amazing. The narrative structure is really interesting. Lots of cool choices. The clothes are beautiful. The costumes, every single one I wanted to wear. And that's an amazing feat to accomplish for like mid-19th century clothing. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend it, even if you haven't read the book, but especially if you have read the book. The interpretation of these wonderful classic characters, I think, is really spot on. The person I saw it with really loved it as well. So highly recommend that. And if it does get Oscar nominations, especially for acting or costumes, I would not be surprised. Or screenplay, too. Adapted screenplay.
That was one of my favorite books as a child. I mean, I remember being sick with the chicken pox and reading that book over and over in bed. It was just one of the greats, for sure.
Yeah, for me too.
Well, there are a lot of movies that people are talking about right now. Mm-hmm. Irishman and Rocketman and all those award-winning movies. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of other movies and series to really get you through the winter. Mm-hmm. I know some people really revel in the cold. I am not one of those people. Mm-hmm. But what are some movies and series that can help us embrace the cold weather?
Sure thing. I mean, I have given this quite a bit of thought because I'm from Southern Virginia. So it has taken me a long time to really get used to winter in the Midwest. And now I'm okay, but there are various strategies that I have evolved over the years for coping. One of my biggest strategies, and we used to do this a lot when we did not have small children and we lived in a tiny apartment in Chicago, but we used to have a Lord of the Rings marathon every winter.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we used to either make meat pies or Cornish game hens and drink a lot of red wine and get a bottle of mead and have people over. So we had a Lord of the Rings party every winter. And that was really fun. And so if you've never done that, if you've never watched all three movies, and if you're feeling very ambitious, you can add the Hobbit movies. But I don't know, that's maybe a lot. but I do kind of recommend that as a fun activity. You can also do the same thing with Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones, another movie or another television series that really, really allows you to absorb yourself in a narrative. For me, the best thing to do during the winter is to just really get sucked into a narrative and make you forget that it is so cold and nasty outside. The other thing about Game of Thrones, though, is the schadenfreude. So these people are going through a lot of problems, trials and tribulations.
Yeah, you can
you're
say
fine
that.
Sitting in your living room. Yes. So that is, if you never got on the Game of Thrones bandwagon to begin with, winter is the best possible time to do it. It is never too late.
I haven't watched it, and I feel like I'm like this one person in a million that has not watched it. My husband and I talk about watching it all the time, then we never do. What about you? Have you watched it?
I have not yet, so this is the perfect time. We'll have to watch it and then we'll
and compare notes.
Yep, exactly.
So absolutely. It's really just start the first episode. It's the first episode starts cold. It starts very wintry. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't grab you, fine. You know, they just move on to the next thing. That's my philosophy when it comes to these big series. Give it an episode. If it grabs you, it grabs you. If it doesn't, that's fine. There are so many other options out there.
And it does feel sometimes like these big, huge series, it feels like a big chunk. You're thinking, well, I'm going to start this and it's going to take days and weeks and months to finish it all. But like you said, you can do it in piecemeal or you don't have to do the whole thing at all.
Yeah, it's totally fine. I have a lot of other movies that I would recommend that allow you to kind of revel in being nice and warm and cozy inside while other people are experiencing coldness outside. One of them is Fargo, the Coen Brothers movie from 1996, which is also an amazing series can be watched on Hulu now.
Yeah, the series is fantastic.
I love the series.
Yeah, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, lots of great actors that they've gotten to be on that series. But every season is different, but amazing. But watch the original movie first if you haven't already. Another really great series while I'm on that that I'll recommend is the Jane Campion series Top of the Lake, starring Elizabeth Moss.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. So Top of the Lake, there were two seasons of it. So there's but they're self-contained stories like Fargo. So you can just watch the one season of Top of the Lake. It is set in New Zealand. And it is really, really a fascinating look at class structures, and it's a detective story. So Top of the Lake, really, really recommend that. And of course, Elizabeth Moss was from Handmaid's Tale and Mad Men. She's a fantastic
actor. Oh, she's so
actor.
Good.
I think Nicole Kidman is in season two, I think.
Is she? So I didn't watch season two, full disclosure. Did you watch season two?
No, I just saw promos for it, but it really caught my eye.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the writing was amazing on that, the first season of that show, so I would recommend that. And Jane Campion, obviously, is an amazing director. She made The Piano.
Oh, yeah. I want to mention, too, that we're going to put these titles up at WPR.org/Route51. So we'll have these for listeners. So you don't worry if you don't have a pen and paper handy and you're hearing something that you want to make sure not to miss.
The other thing that I'll recommend if you have small children, and I'm sure that you know this already if you have small children, but I don't know if there's any possible better winter movies. I have a 2 and 5 year old. There's no better kind of binge watching whole weekend experience than watching Frozen, going to see Frozen 2, and then coming back and watching the Lego Frozen, which is on Disney Plus.
I didn't know that existed.
Oh, it's a thing.
Okay.
There are, I think, 4 episodes that are only 6 minutes each, but they're deeply silly. Like all of the Lego versions of things, they're pretty funny.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. And then also Olaf's Frozen Adventure. That's all on Disney Plus.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm making all these recommendations here, but you could also just spend the entire winter if you have small children in Disney Plus.
I suppose.
Yeah, there's so many things that you know you forget about, but then once you see them, I remember that movie. The Willow is on there, the Muppet movie, Tron, the Rocketeer, the original Parent Trap. There are so many great movies on Disney Plus to distract both you and small children who maybe don't want to leave the house because it's 10 degrees.
Yeah. I don't know if it's on Disney Plus, but the Toy Story movies, I sometimes have forgotten how great those movies really were. And they're just as enjoyable for adults as they are for children, which not many children's movies can I can say that about.
They are, and all of those Pixar movies are also on Disney Plus.
They are.
So
okay.
if you missed out on The Incredibles, Incredibles 2, if you didn't see Up, if you didn't see any of those amazing Pixar movies, those are now all available on Disney Plus. So, you know, I the Disney company does not pay me. I wish that they did. but if that at all piques your interest, that platform is probably for you.
Oh, great.
I really like your binge-watching scenario. It seems mm-hmm. like the height of hygge, like to get some warm
yes.
drinks and have some good food.
Yes.
And maybe you watch all of, like, yeah, all of Game of Thrones or all of the Star Wars saga uh-huh. or something like that, because there's
I
not much
that.
Else you can do. Yeah,
yeah, I love that idea.
So I have a couple of other ideas for marathons that we could do. You know, you could do it for movies. That are available mostly to rent on Amazon, but some of them are available on streaming for free on various platforms too, that maybe allow you to ignore the fact that it's really cold outside and mm-hmm. instead pretend that it's tropical weather for
okay.
a little while. So I have a few ideas of those. For one thing, I think that winter is a great time to do a Western marathon. Just because they're hot, they're dusty, they're sweaty.
My husband would be all in for that.
Yeah?
Yes.
So
he loves those.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do. And if you haven't watched very many Westerns before, and a lot of my students haven't. They haven't watched very many Westerns before. And then I make them watch a Western. They're like, actually, this was great.
Yeah.
Yep. It is a good genre.
It's probably comforting to see a tumbleweed roll by instead of a blizzard outside.
It
you
is.
Know?
I completely agree.
Yeah.
So if you haven't done that lately, do a John Wayne marathon. I mean, you can watch Red River, Stagecoach, Rio Bravo, The Searchers. And if you're feeling especially ambitious, you can watch all of those four in one day. And those are really four of the best Westerns out there.
Really?
In my opinion. And I while I'm at it, I'll mention that Stagecoach is on the Criterion Channel. So that's another streaming platform where if you cut the cord and you miss Turner Classic Movies, for instance, mm-hmm. go get you the Criterion Channel.
Really?
Because there's a lot of older movies. Netflix has been purging its older movies. So older movies are getting harder to watch on streaming platforms. So I highly recommend the Criterion Channel as a choice too.
Good to know.
Yeah. Okay, I've got one more. Must-see marathon
okay.
that will allow you to forget about the winter.
Okay, great.
And my favorite summer in the winter movie of all time is Where the Boys Are from 1960.
Oh,
do you know that movie?
Yes.
Okay, so it's it's obviously the Connie Francis song, mm-hmm. But it stars Dolores Hart and a very, very tan George Hamilton. And
he was always very, very tan.
He was always very tan. But, it's about four women from a college in the Northeast who go to spring break in Florida. And, the beginning of the movie is the snow is swirling in their faces, and then they end up in this tropical paradise. And hijinks ensue. Some of those hijinks might not hold up in 2020. So fair warning about that. There's a plot twist that might be a wee bit problematic today. It still is one of my favorite kind of summer winter movies of all time.
I love that one, yes. Oh. And I'd forgotten about it until you just mentioned it now.
But if you pair that movie with the Frankie and Annette Beach Blanket Bingo.
Oh, yeah.
And then Gidget.
Oh, Gidget.
You've got yes. a super beachy day.
Yes.
And I mean, you can make some Mai Tais and mm-hmm. just really like make a day of it.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the movies or series that you're most excited about at the moment?
Sure. I cannot wait to see Bong Joon-ho's Parasite when it comes here. I'm very, very excited for mm-hmm. it. I actually, a student wrote a final paper on it and spoiled it for me.
Oh.
Which, shout out to that student. You know who you are. but I am still really, really excited to win it. Of course, it just won at the Golden Globes.
Yes it did.
Some of his other movies, though, are available elsewhere. So if you've never seen Snowpiercer from 2013... Oh, it's so good.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. And it stars Captain America.
Chris Evans.
Thank you. I was about to say, sometimes I get Chris Pratt and Chris Evans mixed up. Just their names. I know their faces.
Throw in Chris Hemsworth in there then, too.
And I know.
The trifecta.
Well,
it's the trifecta.
There's Chris actually trifecta. Four because there's also Chris Pine,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
So there's
mm-hmm.
the four Chrises, yeah. Anyway, but also Okja is on Netflix, too. That I highly recommend that one. But if you've never seen Snowpiercer, it's post-apocalyptic. There's a train that has to constantly circumnavigate the icy globe of the U.S. After a major disaster. So it is a fascinating movie.
Wow.
I believe it's being turned into a series, too. I want to say on TNT, maybe?
I think I heard that, too. Yeah. It would make a great series. I mean, the whole thing is about class and about different groups of people interacting with each other. It's a great movie, and it would make a great show. But other shows that I deserved their awards. Fleabag deserved its award. If you've never seen Fleabag, it might not be for everybody, so make sure you watch the
mm-hmm.
trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch the trailer and that appeals to you, it's for you and you should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really wonderful. I'll also say that we recently finished watching Watchmen. It is an incredible show. Everybody should see it. That's on HBO as well. We are also looking forward to watching the His Dark Materials series on HBO. We haven't started it yet, but those are based on books.
Yep.
So it's based on the Philip Pullman series that starts with The Golden Compass. And and we haven't started that one yet, but we're really looking forward to that.
Okay.
So many other things, too.
Oh, I know. I know.
I mean, okay.
Just what's on your must-watch list? That you really, really must watch. Like anybody who's listening must pay attention to.
Oh, man. Well, I do think that if you have not seen The Mandalorian and you Star Wars is your jam, or Westerns are your jam, because Mandalorian is basically an old school Western mm-hmm. set in the Star Wars universe,
mm-hmm.
Then I really think that it's worth watching.
Right.
It was wonderful. But I mean, I would put Watchmen at the top of the list. I think that everybody should see Watchmen.
I have heard so much mm-hmm. positive feedback about that. It
mm-hmm.
just
I think it's an important show.
Really?
In addition to being just utterly gripping.
Okay.
So we could actually say a lot about Watchmen and its depiction of race, its depiction of politics, of lots of different issues that are huge in the U.S. today. So I would recommend that everybody watch that series.
All right.
And talk about it with your friends.
Well, I love series and movies that promote conversation
mm-hmm.
afterward. Now that my kids are adults, it's great to watch movies with them and then afterward talk about what we learned about it and how it made us feel. So I think that's really important.
Definitely.
Well, we'll talk about books next, but UWSP film expert Carrie Elza and Marathon County Public Library media specialist Dan Richter are guests today on Route 51 as we continue our discussion on movies and books to help you make it through the long winter months ahead. And as I said, we'll focus on books next. The number to call to join the discussion is 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. UWSP film expert Carrie Elza and Marathon County Public Library media specialist Dan Richter are our guests today in studio, talking about the movies and books they recommend to cure cabin fever this winter. You can join the conversation, too. The number to call is 800-780-9742. So, Dan, I was taking a look at Goodreads. Goodreads is kind of like it's really become the world's largest site for reader recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with a hot reads list this week, and at the top of the list was Eric Larson, familiar author there. The book, The Splendid and the Vile, it comes out February 25th. It's interesting. It's a portrait of Winston Churchill and London during the Blitz. Can't wait to read it. Are you seeing a lot of interest in this one?
Yeah, Eric Larson is really popular, I think, especially in our area. People have checked out his book, Dead Wake, a lot for different book clubs and things like that. And this one, I think, sounds very interesting. You know, from the description, it says, on Winston's first day as prime minister, as that was happening, Hitler was invading Holland and Belgium, so really the height of World War II. And so I think that'll be interesting to people to kind of be reacquainted with that and kind of know his thoughts, what was going on at the time. And yeah.
Yeah, I really liked In the Garden of Beasts and Devil in the White City. Those were my two favorites of Eric Larson so far. But I haven't read all of his books, but that caught my eye for sure. I think that's going to be really interesting.
Definitely.
So what's at the top of your list?
Well, kind of going hand in hand with The Splendid and the Vile, there's a book that was released earlier this week. It's historical fiction by Marie Benedict, and it's called Lady Clementine. And it's a novel about Winston Churchill's wife, Clementine Churchill. And Benedict writes a lot of historical fiction novels about wives of famous men, so the women behind the men. So she wrote one called The Other Einstein about Albert Einstein's first wife.
Oh, I read that one. That was good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One about Hedy Lamarr. So I think it's a kind of like, you know, based on a true story. She takes some creative liberties, but you probably learn a lot about their relationship and about someone you might not. I mean, everyone knows Winston Churchill, but probably very few know much about his wife. So it'd be interesting to read hand in hand with The Splendid and the Vile.
I think that's going to be an interesting one. Yeah. I also, one that caught my eye that's at the top of a lot of lists is American Dirt by Janine Cummins. It's about a Mexican woman who flees her homeland with her young son after a drug kingpin wipes out her entire family, including her husband, who's a journalist who is investigating the cartel. It's supposed to be really fantastic. That is out January 21st. And I'm seeing that at a lot of the top of the lot of at the top of many lists of the must reads for the
coming months. Even your synopsis really kind of piqued my interest. So.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good one. All
definitely.
Right. So what's on your list?
Well, there's one that also came out earlier this week. It's a nonfiction book by Ada Calhoun called Why We Can't Sleep. And it's really about so it started as an essay that she wrote for Oprah.com about Gen Xers and the different kind of problems that they face today. And she really kind of dives deeper into that, specifically what women Gen Xers face.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah,
in midlife,
I did too, yeah.
And how those problems are different vastly than the ones that boomer women had faced and that millennial women are facing or will face in the future. So I think it'll be kind of like a really neat kind of slice of life. And if you're not in the Gen X generation, or if you are, you can kind of get some perspective of what other people are going through and are facing that you might not realize. And if you are facing the same things, you know, kind of realize that you're not the only one.
Well, sometimes those types of books really can help you feel empowered with your own life and make you realize that you're not alone in the struggles that you go through.
Yeah, things people might not talk about, but that's kind of, you know, a widespread problem or thing. So
okay. It's definitely sparked a lot of conversations on my Facebook groups already.
Oh, yeah,
believe it or not,
awesome.
Like even just reading reviews of it.
And is it out already?
Yeah, it came out on the 7th.
Okay, so it's available now.
Okay. Yeah.
What's next?
Next is it comes out on January 14th, so just a few days away. It's a short story collection by Zora Neale Hurston, Hitting a Straight Lick with a Crooked Stick, Stories of from the Harlem Renaissance. So a lot of these stories are almost 100 years old. They were originally written in the 1920s during the Harlem Renaissance, and they were sort of lost or not included in her other compilations. So they're all put together this time, and they include topics about gender and class, sexism, racism, the place of African-American folks in society. So I think it'll be interesting to read these almost 100 years later and see what's changed, what hasn't, what's still you know, prevalent topics and things like that.
That sounds interesting. And I love short story compilations. I think that they're just so engrossing. And this sounds like a particularly good one.
Yeah, definitely. People seem, Their Eyes Were Watching God as a kind of a classic that most people have, I think, read or heard of. So I think people will really enjoy this.
Absolutely. I just in my book club, I get the Book of the Month club, and I just got Long Bright River by Liz Moore.
Oh, cool.
And that one looks pretty good too. It's her third novel. It's a literary mystery about a female cop in Philadelphia. And she's got a sister who is addicted to opioids, and she's gone missing. So it's a whodunit, but it's also a real family drama. And it's getting some great reviews too. So that just came out this week. Again, that's Long Bright River by Liz Moore. So just wanted to mention that one, too.
Yeah. And I think Liz Moore is usually a more popular author, too. So people who have enjoyed her past books definitely should pick up this one, too.
For sure. What's next on your list?
There's a new one coming out later this month on the 21st by Isabel Allende, Along Petals of the Sea. So it's a sweeping kind of historical fiction epic, which she's kind of known for, features some maybe elements of magical realism about a couple who escaped the Spanish Civil War, and they take a ship to Chile, where they spend decades there, and it kind of follows their lives as they adapt to a whole new world and life in a whole other continent.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I love that kind of, different genre than what I'm usually picking up in the stores or in the library.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, that one sounds really great. There's a memoir I wanted to mention by Adrienne Miller. I don't know if you're aware of this one. She was the first female editor of Esquire magazine. And I guess as a longtime journalist, I suppose this is why this piqued my interest. But it's called In the Land of Men. A memoir, and it's really the story about being a woman in the mid-90s in the literary world, which was really largely male-dominated. And it really wasn't until she began working at Esquire that she met David Foster Wallace, and they became very close. They began this professional and personal relationship that helped both of them. She was this naive girl from the Midwest who ended up making it really big. She was first at GQ and then literary editor at Esquire. So that one's coming out February 11th, and I can't wait for that one. In the Land of Men, it's Adrienne Miller. I think she's just phenomenal.
Yeah, that sounds really good too. And you know, I think you can find inspiration and strength, and even like some like just mojo in somebody else's story who really kind of like conquered and climbed to the top of the heap, and you know, like persevered in a very, very male dominated field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know there's a memoir on your list that you wanted to mention as well. The Diane Keaton.
Yeah, it's called Brother and Sister, and it comes out February 4th. And so people know Diane Keaton from things like Annie Hall and The Godfather and Something's Gotta Give, but she writes about she's written other memoirs in the past too, but this one's particularly about her and her brother's relationship through the years. They were very close as children, she writes, and had a lot of similarities, were very inseparable. And as adults, she, of course, became a well-regarded actress, and he became an alcoholic and had trouble holding down a job and kind of having a successful adult life. So she kind of writes about how the relationship evolved over the years, and I think kind of examines how people can grow up in the same environment and same circumstances, but have drastically different lives.
Oh, I've not read any of her previous memoirs. Have you?
I have not either. No.
Have you?
No.
I didn't even know that she had them before. But this one really caught my eye. I thought that's going to be a really powerful book. And I know a lot of people are talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has a family member or sibling that they probably had similar circumstances where you were very close at one time and something drove you apart, or who suffered with addiction or mental health issues, things like that. So I think it's probably very relatable content for most everybody.
I think so. Don't you feel like everybody's got something like that in their life that they can relate to that?
Absolutely. The idea of being able to kind of take comfort or read somebody else's story to understand yourself and your own story. Winter, I think, is a good time to do that.
It is. And, you know, I guess books for me have different facets. One, in one way, they can make you escape from everything. Mm-hmm. But then in others, they can really teach you something or help you feel less alone about the issues that you face yourself.
Give you a sense of perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah, self-reflection. And I think relatability, too, is something that if you can place yourself in that person's shoes, whether they're fictional or they're a real person, I think you have that connection and it just kind of sinks in a little bit more. And
yeah, absolutely. What else is on your big list?
There's a sequel to the book, P.S. I Love You, that came out originally in 2003. Cecilia Ahern is an Irish author, and she has a new book coming out, Postscript, that takes place after the original. In the original book and then the movie that starring Hilary Swank is about a woman whose husband passes away, and he sends her letters and videos that he had written and recorded before his passing to kind of help her get over the loss of him. And in this book, it picks up 6 years later, and she goes on a podcast to talk about her husband doing this and kind of how it helped her. And in turn, she gets correspondence from different people who are terminally ill who want her help to do the same thing for their loved ones. And she kind of gets wrapped into this kind of feel-good mission to help these people with the time that they have left. So it sounds like it would be, even if you haven't read the first book or seen the movie, that it would be kind of a fun thing to read about and kind of inspiring, it sounds like.
Yeah, I haven't read the first book or see – I did not see the movie either.
I saw the movie.
Was it good?
Yeah. I mean, I remember it being, a pretty solid romantic drama. Yeah.
I wonder if there's any talk about making this one into a movie too since the
I don't think the bar is super high for turning anything or making a sequel for anything, yeah. So I would not be surprised.
That's so true. Well, that sounds like a good one. What else is on your list?
There's a collection of nonfiction essays by R. Eric Thomas called Here For It, or How to Save Your Soul in America. And it sounds really interesting to me. He's a senior staff writer for Elle, and he's written for the New York Times and other publications. And his essays tend to be more comedic and heartfelt. And a lot of them, sounds like in this collection, will deal with kind of the duality he has felt at different times in his life, being a black man, but also going to a predominantly white suburban school, being gay and reckoning that with his Christian faith, and then covering the 2016 election and staying unbiased at times when he's, he felt very biased but had to be unbiased in his writing and his coverage of the event. So he writes about all of that. And I first heard about it through Lin-Manuel Miranda's Twitter feed. So he's like a big fan of our Eric Thomas. So I think it'd be one that people will definitely want to read. It talks about current events and just about, society and another slice of life, which I always like.
Some powerful themes in that one for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a must read. Yep. Yeah. One I wanted to mention too, Beatriz Williams, Lauren Willig, and Karen White teamed up for a new book that's coming out January 14th. It's All the Ways We Said Goodbye. It's interesting because it's three intersecting timelines written by the three authors. And it introduces three women who seek refuge in the well-known Ritz Hotel in Paris from 1914 to 1964. They're all facing hard times and broken hearts, but then the stars kind of align and their paths cross at the Ritz and everything changes. So I'm looking forward to that because I thoroughly enjoy all three authors, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that all works out.
Me too. I had that on my list as well. I thought it's really unique for three authors to work on just one novel together and kind of cool. Each take their own slice of it and mm-hmm. then have them all kind of intersect toward the end. So.
Yeah, I think that's a neat idea. Do you have any others on your list?
Yeah, one more that's coming out on March 24th. It's called The Upside of Being Down, How Mental Health Struggles Led to My Greatest Successes in Work and Life. So it's by Jen Gotch. She's the founder and COO of a company called Bando. It's an online clothing retailer. And she talks about how growing up she had generalized anxiety, ADD, and bipolar disorder, which were all after she graduated college, they were all misdiagnosed and never really treated. So after college, she had kind of trouble holding down a job. She felt very unmotivated, struggled with depression a lot. And eventually when she got diagnosed correctly and got the psychological help she needed, how she kind of used her struggles that she'd had growing up and in early adulthood to kind of motivate herself and propel her to the station that she's in now.
Oh, that sounds amazing. When is mm-hmm. that coming out?
March 24th.
March 24th, okay. And I do want to remind our listeners that we will have a list of all of these books and the movies that we discussed and the shows at WPR.org/Route51 so that you can easily remember them and refer to them when you're taking a look for something to do this winter. I'm going to totally put you on the spot here. Do you have a favorite book that you read this past year?
I think there's two, actually. They're very closely tied. One is Maybe You Should Talk to Somebody by Lori Gottlieb. So she's a therapist, and she writes about being broken up with by her boyfriend, and she starts seeing a therapist herself. So the chapters alternate between her therapy sessions, and then she also talks about different therapy sessions with patients of her own that she, of course, changes details so they're not identifiable. But So I think there's a lot to relate to in there, and kind of shows how people tick. And I think there's a lot of relatability between the different stories. There's a man whose son had passed away, and he's just very angry all the time. There's someone who her children don't talk to her anymore, and she's approaching 70 and has immense depression. So there's a lot of really good stuff, really good content in there.
And what's the author's name?
It's Lori Gottlieb.
Okay.
And the other one is Educated by Tara Westover. Mm-hmm. She grew up in Idaho in sort of like a doomsday cult situation. Her dad was kind of a doomsday prepper, and they didn't go to doctors or public schools. They took care of everything themselves, very sustainable. And her and her siblings had gone through, a lot of dangerous situations, a lot of life and death situations. And eventually she went to school, college against kind of their wishes, and left the family and was sort of shunned from the family because she's in kind of like a world where she's kind of surrounded by temptation and not kind of abiding by what their beliefs. So
that sounds fascinating.
Very fascinating.
Yeah, that book has totally been on my list.
Really? Okay. Well, it's on mine now.
several times reading it, I thought, if this was a fiction novel, I would say, this is so unbelievable. This is not, the author really should have like kind of toned it down. But the fact that it's all supposedly true and it happened, there are so many times where her or her siblings really honestly probably should have died, and they somehow survived and live to see another day. So
amazing. Well, mm-hmm. Carrie, Dan, it has been an absolute pleasure. You've given me a huge list of things to read and movies and shows to watch over the coming months, and I certainly appreciate it. Unfortunately, that is all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guests, Jason Davis of Gamers Who Care, Marathon County Public Library media specialist Dan Richter, and University of Wisconsin's Stevens Point films expert, Carrie Elza. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our on-air producer today is Joy Ratch-Kramer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, we'll welcome Wausau School Board Vice President Pat McKee and Wausau therapist Lee Shipway for a discussion on bullying and what can be done to address this pervasive problem in our schools and communities. Until then, we're heading out of town.